Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now, imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee, plus 15% off your first order with code BUTTERY. So head to bollandbranch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
This is Paul Hawksby and Max Rushton. And this is the H&J... This is the H&J Daily. I don't normally struggle with that. Which is some of the best bits of this afternoon's show. We were joined by Rupert Bell in isolation, having come back from Dubai. And he joined us to talk a bit of golf. But really, we just wanted to check in with him, see if he was okay.
Yeah, very interesting updates on his local shop, on his dog's Twitter account. You'll find out all of that.
Yeah, you certainly will. We spoke to the Reverend Nick Bromfield, who is using a cardboard cutout of Peter Crouch for... social distancing purposes in his church. And he told us a little bit about that. We had a conversation about various things, didn't we? Really covered some ground. And I think that's essentially it. Here it all is. Good afternoon, everyone. Good afternoon, Max.
Good afternoon, Paul. Yes, I was sad to not be on air for deadline day because it gets me all of a quiver. I get so excited about, you know, possible loan moves for players to MK Dons. And, you know, I don't know. Do you know how sort of X Factor was good once? You know, like, you know, there was the sort of Alexandra Burke Journey South years where you thought, I'm really into this. I really love the backstories. And, you know, someone's great granddad's dying wish was for me to, you know, hit the high note on Life on Mars with a jazz backing track. And, you know, and I was like, I was so into
what, during Bowie week?
Yeah, I think during Bowie
it's
week.
It's Bowie week.
Exactly. How will Ryland do on Bowie week? You know, and I did get
when he does time, I think that made it quite difficult, really. That was quite difficult. Well, it's a live show. Yeah, that's right. I'm going to do time. No, you're not. I've just, anyway.
Anyway, so there was a time where, you know, I was part, you know, the Robinho for 30 million in the last minute or Berbatov going somewhere. I was like, this is great. But, you know, yesterday when it was, you know, will Ainsley Maitland-Niles go to West Brom or Southampton? I found it hard to get my sort of, to get a sweat on, you know, to get into a sort of furious excitement about the whole affair. Yeah. You know, I don't know. Is it just me? I know we're part of it. We're part of it.
Well, I have to whip myself into some kind of lather. Really?
Yeah.
I've got to be committed to it. And look, you always hope, this is the thing, I think people hope against hope that their team's going to do a little bit of business, and suddenly out of left field will come this amazing deal you weren't expecting. Yeah. There is nothing better, isn't there, about sort of 8, 9 in the evening when someone says, we're getting a whisper that this, but they may run out of time. And it is quite big and it still has the power to excite. But
somebody said, you know, blistering shock late news, Minamino might go to Southampton. You're like, well, is that blistering? Is it sensational? Guy who looks half decent but hasn't really done a whole lot, going to a team not quite as good as the one he was at. I don't know. I did look at all the transfers though this morning. Yeah. One nice thing is to think of players who you thought were 100 years old who are still playing football, like Nicky Maynard, Mansfield to Newport, and David Nugent going to Tranmere.
Oh, it's a beautiful line. Let me just find it for you. This is James Harkin, who's the head elf for the QI Elves,
right?
And no such thing as a fish podcast, that he often pops in with the gang now and again when they've got stuff on. He's Tranmere fan. He said, delighted that we've just signed David Nugent. Not saying he's old, but he's only had one shot this season, and it was a Pfizer. Very good, James.
The best tweet I saw on deadline was a guy called Michael Luff or Lau just said it looks like Danny Graham is set to remain on Wearside. Therefore, I feel it's my duty to remind you that if Danny Graham makes eight more league appearances without scoring, goalkeeper Mark Poom will have a better goals to game ratio than Danny.
Wow. Now, we lost to Tottenham fans, I think, very sad last night to lose a much loved player in Jedson Fernandez.
Yes.
When the book comes to be written about the Levy years, it may well be called The Wrong Fernandez. I think we knew quite early on that Jedson was not in Bruno's skill set, really. He wasn't quite in his same stratosphere.
Yeah. I mean, to be fair to Jedson, in every way, he looks a footballer. Except for the sort of achieving anything on the pitch.
Well, look, he clearly came, you know, came from Benfica. He came from a good club and was highly rated. But for whatever reason, he got limited game time, and there was a reason for that as well. He did look a little bit lightweight. He did look a bit lost whenever he came on in games. And something we're going to get you going on this afternoon. One of the guys I go to Tottenham with, Rob, started to call him Slippers. He just said one day, here he comes, here comes Slippers. And the root of that, really, we kind of knew what he meant because it looked like he was playing every game in carpet slippers. Now, you'd often they would say, well, the great players always had that lightness of touch. They looked like they were... It's not a good thing in this case because... You may have had a dream in the past that you look down and you're wearing the kit of the club you love and you're just running out onto the pitch. And in the dream, you're thinking, this is it. This is the moment when I play for the club I love. And then you look slightly further down beyond the kit and you are wearing a pair of carpet slippers and you've got to play the whole game in them. And it would affect your touch.
It would,
It'd affect the fact you couldn't really put your foot in. You couldn't run that much. You couldn't strike the ball. That's why we called him Slippers, because he wore white. He did these kind of these very bright white boots that rarely got dirty. And it did look like he was playing in a pair of carpet slippers. We will miss him. He put Marine to the sword. He put them in their place.
Yeah, he put a good shift against
Marine. We think
Marine,
that day he maybe found his level. But we wish him well. He's moved on. Surprised, really, that Tottenham weren't prepared to spend £42 million on him. What a surprise that was. But anyway, have you got a pet nickname for a player that's played for your club? It could be one of the wags who sits near you in the ground, or one of your number, or even you yourself, and it doesn't really get any traction anywhere else, just amongst you and your mates who watch the game. So if you've come up with little pet names for players, positive or negative, do let us know this afternoon. Talksport.com/H&J. You can text to 81089 or tweet to TSHNJ.
On the slippers question, I was posed this question a while back, and I don't know the answers. City, obviously the best team in the country at the moment, right?
Yeah.
What team do you think City could beat if they had to wear suits and suit shoes? So how far down
level?
How far down the pyramid?
So the suits, the club suit, they turn up in the club suit with like the one Mancini used to wear with a big City badge on
it. They turn up, they don't have kit, and they're like, they're late because the coach is late. They've literally got to go straight on the pitch. They're in suit shoes and full suits. Would they beat a team in League One? Because it's slippy, isn't it?
Wow. I mean,
what do you think?
Surely we've got to put, couldn't we try that, some sort of experiment? I mean, you'd have to get a Premier League side to commit. I can't see Pep agreeing to that at the moment.
Why isn't Pep?
If you want to set
Pep's
the level,
no fun, is he?
If you want to set the level to who City would beat, who could they beat?
Let us know. Probably Spurs.
We'll probably discover that in the League Cup final when they think, "No, we won't get lads. It's Spurs. We won't get change."
There was one other transfer that you may have missed because it was at 11:30 last night.
Wow.
A player who I'd not heard of, so you know, forgive my ignorance. Called Niskins Cabano.
I've heard of Niskins Cabano.
Fulham to Middlesbrough. Yeah. I did think of all the pressure for your dad to your parents to put on you by giving you the first name of Niskins.
Mm.
And I've looked it up. He was named after Niskin.
Yeah.
You know all of this already, obviously, Paul, because you're the Oracle. But quite a lot
of pressure. I've seen him turn out for Fulham last year.
I wonder, was anybody called Pele listening? You know, just in the vain hope he might be quite good at... It doesn't matter how good Niskins Cabano gets.
Yeah.
He's not going to be as good as Niskins, is he?
He's probably not. No, that's a very good
point.
Big
pressure on Niskins Cabano, but I wish him all the best at the Riverside.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
And now, Paul, would you like the secret to eternal youth?
Well, yeah, I'm not going to say I'm not going to say no. You're all right if you've got it.
Well, I think you look pretty good.
Yeah.
I think you're doing pretty well, to be honest. Anyway, the secret to eternal youth is to steer clear of alcohol and beauty products, says Morten Harkett from A-ha. Immortal Harkett is the headline.
It's a good headline.
The A-ha singer who was fawned
Although
over.
Although it's misleading because, you know, he might be looking good now, but I think immortality is pushing it a bit, isn't
well,
it?
Well, the thing is, there is a picture of him in 1986 and there's a picture of him now, and he definitely looks older now.
Yeah.
I don't want to be a letdown, but it says here the... he says, being a heartthrob at 61 is embarrassing. It is worth pointing out that he looks younger than Mike Duxbury.
Imagine what it's like for Andy at 67 being a heartthrob.
You're absolutely
embarrassing.
Right. Embarrassing. I see 61 is obviously the one... He's his age is one Mike Duxbury.
Yeah, he's one
he's
Mike
looking
Duxbury.
Better than Mike Duxbury. So anyway, that's the secret to eternal youth, although... As I've already suggested, it's not actually, it's not real.
No,
it's not real,
not,
Paul.
It's no,
there's no such thing.
It's not. Anyway, we were asking you earlier on off the back that Jadson Fernandes, who just left Spurs after a fairly sort of undistinguished little period on loan, was called by my mate Rob Slippers because it did look like, not in a good way, he was playing his football in a pair of carpet slippers. He was basically just wearing the wrong footwear. So have you got a little pet name for players? Darren's quite bitter. He said, Joel Linton, I just call him Joe because he doesn't deserve to sound Brazilian. That's very bitter, isn't it?
It's not fair, is it? Do you remember I said the chap called Neeskins, Neeskin Cabano's come to Middlesbrough. And it's a bit hard if your first name's Neeskins. You know, you're not going to be as good as Johan Neeskins. It's fair to say the parents of Leeds had two young kids called Ronaldo Vieira and Romario Vieira.
Yeah.
They definitely rolled the dice on them being professional footballers, says Mark. I've got a letter to the Daily Star that I'd like to read to you, Paul.
I don't know if
you may not have thought this through. It's regarding vaccinations. And obviously we all want to get vaccinated as quickly as we all can. Charlton Gary has posed a question to the Daily Star. If I commit a crime and go to prison, will I be able to get my vaccine early? Says Charlton Gary. I think he's might give him the game away. I think the police might be watching Charlton
the
Gary now.
No, we don't want people getting banged up so they can have the vaccination. We're
going
to have to keep...
Well, I want to rub this. Ocean's 11's a different movie, isn't it?
They
go, well, we get it done. I just don't know if we're going to get vaccinated or not. But it was nice of Charlton Gary. In a way, the honesty I do like from Charlton Gary on that. We don't know the answer to the question. Please don't commit any crimes.
And we might talk about Manchester United later on. Apparently are too nice.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Did you see that stuff about they're just too nice to refs? This comes off the back of the fact that they just had the old sort of reports come in on their game against Sheffield United. And basically the PGMO have admitted that both the decisions, the key decisions in that game, the first goal...
I'm not having it.
Should have been chalked off, and the Harry Maguire one where he jumped with Ramsdale should have been allowed. And the most annoying thing about it, what is so frustrating about it, is that the reason they weren't overruled by VAR is they didn't necessarily use that old hoary old phrase, they didn't meet the threshold to overturn the decision.
No,
so what does the refereeing fraternity more damage, the Premier League referees more damage? Overturning a decision during the game so you can get the outcome of a game right, or a week later sending a letter to Manchester United saying, sorry, we got it wrong.
Yeah, but do you think they did? And also...
That's not the point. They thought they got it wrong.
Well, no,
so surely if you've got a way of putting it right there and then, do it. Don't worry about your threshold. If something is wrong, put it right. Don't wait a week later and write a letter.
So Dale Johnson from ESPN... tweeted this. The PGMOL hasn't said this. As Ole Gunnar Solskjaer said himself, it was the match delegates report. Sorry to get really nerdy about
this. Oh, okay.
It's an independent former player or manager. It's not the PGMOL. So the ref blew his whistle too early on the Maguire one, so there's nothing VAR could do, apparently. But it's an ex-player. Could have been Lee Sharp, for all we know.
It could be someone who used to lead with their elbows.
But it was Mike Duxbury, maybe.
Maybe.
You know?
Well, look, maybe I owe then. Here I am quite happy on air to admit I got it wrong.
Hawksby wrong. He should resign immediately, absolutely, shouldn't he?
I take it back. Although, I still maintain the principle is the same. You know,
there
shouldn't be a threshold which you can't overrule. You should just... If you think it's wrong, you're sitting in that box. Doesn't matter if that referee's got 10 years on you. Your job is to call it right at that moment. I tend to agree with you. I didn't think there was... I thought the Maguire one should have been allowed because... Or the fallout... Was it Martial put it in, wasn't it?
Yeah.
There was nothing wrong with that challenge. That should have been allowed. But by the same token, I thought the Bryan goal should have been allowed as well.
Do you think it all evens itself out over a season,
Bryan? I
think
over the course of a season...
I don't know
why I'm getting so upset about
it,
really.
Okay.
I'm not a fan of either Sheffield United or Manchester. I've got him right lather over... for nothing. And I was wrong. But I still maintain the principle is the same. If you're sitting in that box in Stockley Park, grow a pair, basically. Okay. Doesn't matter if the other ref is more experienced than you. Anyway, there we are.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
We're going to talk a bit of golf now. I think we're doing this, really. It's like a community outreach.
I think it is, yeah.
Because we spoke to Rupert Bell last week, who had to come back early, didn't he, from Dubai, was to kind of leave the country as the rules around travelling there changed, and now finds himself in a sort of 10-day isolation. So we don't want him getting lonely.
No.
And
it's slightly abusive of what we're meant to be doing on this radio station.
Well, I don't know. I think it's quite nice. Okay, it gives me a warm feeling, though. But, I mean, he obviously can bring something to the table. It's not just, how are you? I'll bring you some bananas next week. It's like, this is a proper conversation about sport.
Right, I'm with you.
Rupert Bell joins us. Good afternoon, Rupert.
Good afternoon. Funny enough, my local village shop has left a parcel outside my door with bananas in it.
Oh, that's lovely.
Oh, that
is
nice.
Really? Is that just a gift, or are you going to have to pay for that?
Fred, I think I'm going to have to pay for it.
Rupert, did you order it? Is it, you know, because you gave the impression there that you live in this sort of idyllic village where you know just people leave parcels outside. But if you've ordered it and it's been delivered,
it's called a shopping delivery.
Well, I'm very grateful to the Ilmington Village Shop, but there was a bit of a crisis. They brought up yesterday's Racing Post, which wasn't what I was looking for. So some guy had to come back on his bicycle up the hill I live on with a fresh copy, because I can't go and pop down and get it. But he left it at the back door, and I waved him on his way. Mm. So, but anyway, I know what I'm in for. In for 10 days, I signed up for it when I went over there. So it is what it is.
Are you keeping yourself busy, Rupert? Box settings, is it Queen's Gambit? What are you doing? What's the plan?
Well, I think so far, I've just done some Cheltenham previews. Funnily enough, I'm all right. I've got a lot of racing to watch. So, and I know I live in a lovely part of the country, so my views are, and it's a lovely sort of almost a spring-like day today. So me and Fudge will walk around the garden a couple of times later on after I've spoken to you. And carry on. But, you know, I was privileged to go to Dubai last week, and it was nice to see sport, even in a really controlled bubble environment. Mm. But they did great pains to make sure that everyone on the European tour is kept safe with wherever they're playing. And I think they need to be applauded, just like so many other sports are doing that level best to keep the show on the road.
Now, we know golf is a game of many rules and an awful lot of etiquette, and there's been this spat that we hope you might be able to explain to us around Patrick Reed and Rory McIlroy playing in the Farmers Insurance Open over in the States. And it all comes down to whether a ball bounced before it came to rest, but it seems to cause quite a stir, Rupert.
Yeah, well, it's Patrick Reed causing the stir. Unfortunately, he is a golfer who does attract problems, and he has done all through his golfing career. And he, you know, he's probably not the top player on most people's dinner party list, but he is a brilliantly talented player. But the incident this week is they had sort of lift and play, but he hit a shot and he thought the ball was embedded. But it didn't, and that means that the ball hadn't bounced on. Well, the TV pictures in hindsight showed that it did. But where he probably slightly went against the rules in many ways is he didn't wait for the rule official, though he was perfectly entitled to do it. And the rules official said he did not break the rule. In fact, I've had last night, and I, Bob and I were having a, Bob Butker and I were having a heated conversation about this very topic, about where is the rules. The rules official say he hasn't broken any rule, and that's their assessment. So for all the bleating for everybody else saying he did something wrong, in the eyes of what happened in that incident on the ground, everybody thought he played it right. They had to take the word of a volunteer who said he thought the ball hadn't bounced. Well, the volunteer obviously, you know, may not have been able to see exactly what happened. But Patrick Reed, clearly, maybe it's the spirit of the game that sometimes he plays fast and loose with, rather than the rules. And golf is a game about trust, because, you know, when you're playing your own ball, you basically have to make the decisions and you call shots on yourself.
Yeah.
And Patrick Reed probably, in his case, just, you know, makes sure the rules go in his favour, and that's why he doesn't endear himself to all and sundry.
But where does Rory McIlroy come into this story, Rupert?
Well, he did something similar as well. But you see, it's the reaction of the press to the people. Rory McIlroy always seems to, you know, he's got people saying, right, he did it all for the right reason. Whereas Patrick Reed, in hindsight, you can see that he looks like he's done something wrong. In Rory's case, less so, but it's in a similar sort of vein because of the way the conditions were. So it is, and this is where golf does get itself in a bit of a pickle with its rules and sort of very sort of in what many people would say, well, pernickety things that go on out of the golf course. You know, if you lay your club, a simple one, in a bunker, well, that is breaking the rules. But sometimes that might just happen by mistake. And you've got to call shots on yourself. And clearly, when you're playing for as much money as these guys are playing for, sometimes the temptation may be not to call sort of time on yourself.
Rupert, can I ask you this? James Currigan, the Telegraph's golf correspondent, has just tweeted this out. It says, RNA and USGA to introduce local rule that can stop Bryson DeChambeau using a 48-inch driver at the Masters in April and planning to bring in local rule to limit the distance a ball travels. Big moment in the game, says James.
Well, James and I are doing something similar at the moment. We're both self-isolating for 10 days because we were both in Dubai last weekend. But that is, I think, quite significant. They have been trying, because obviously we've seen Bryson DeChambeau. He was even road testing this 48-inch driver just to hit it further. And what the problem is golf has got is because they are hitting it prodigious distances, golf courses can't keep up. And they're too easy almost for them because, you know, they hit them for 300 yards. So I think it will be a big seminal moment for the sport because if suddenly it really would be differentiating between the professional game and the amateur game, where, of course, you know, if I hit the ball 250 yards, it's cause for much celebration and joy. A player, you know, we were hearing Paul Casey was saying he could hit a 7-iron 200 yards. Well, wow, or even further than that. And you think, wow, they play a completely different game. And golf courses are not designed, and given the environmental issues, they've got to find a way to bring it back. It may not, you know, the big numbers of hitting a ball 300 yards, but you've still got to be able to get the ball into the hole less than anybody else. So the skill levels will be maintained. And I think that's what they want to try and bring is that the game is an all-round game, not just for the ones who can balloon it 400 yards out down the fairway and take out the challenges that the course is designed to create.
Well, keep busy, Rupert.
That's an important question from Adam in Reading, which I thought as well. How big is Rupert's garden if you're only doing two laps?
Yeah, you know, it's massive.
Is it?
I mean, it's about 50 acres.
Yeah, well, Gina says, a man on a bicycle bringing him his newspaper, walking his dog Fudge around the village. Rupert Bell's life sounds like an episode of Downton Abbey.
Well, you know, it's not far off, Rupert.
And only, I've checked, only 5-star reviews for the Ilmington Community Shop and Cafe. No bad views. Phil says, just passing on our way to Hidcot. Saw the sign for the cafe. What a little gem we found. Coffee and cake, delicious. Staff very friendly. Setting so beautiful.
That's very cruel because Rupert can't go there at the moment. He has to look at it through binoculars through his window.
I know, I can't see it.
Not on your land, you can't see it. You need a telescope.
Basically, my best friends are cock pheasants.
Are they really? Fantastic. Cheers, Rupert. Thanks very much.
Very good.
Slightly mad he is in isolation.
That could be a big insult in Ilmington, couldn't it? Yeah. Calling someone a cock pheasant.
He's a cock pheasant. Yeah. My old man. It's not that, is it?
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Rupert Bell's been in touch.
Has he?
Yeah.
He is bored, isn't he?
He's taking a photo of his dog, Fudge. Yeah. Not quite ready for his spin, says Rupert. But Fudge has his own Twitter account.
Wow. It's quite a catchy handle.
It's the sort of Twitter handle that normally says proud dad and says be kind in their bio and then tells me that I've ruined their life for sitting in for whoever I'm sitting in for. At Fudge 876-08749. I mean, I don't know if that's Rupert's home landline, is it?
Was he once in prison or something, Fudge?
I don't know. Has he done time?
Yeah, did he go in there to get his jet?
Fudge is only following one person. Mm. He's only following Rupert.
Has
183 followers, and on the 15th of March 2020, Fudge last tweeted, quote tweeted Rupert tweeting, me and Fudge will be doing a lot of this over the next few weeks and walking, and Fudge tweeted, oh God, can't wait. So, you know, it's nice that, I mean, they can talk to each other, but they tend to tweet each other, but, you know, Fudge has, you know, his own tablet and uses it, so
bit
good
worrying,
for him.
Isn't it? Yes. A bit worrying from Rupert's worrying. Point of view. Yeah, we see more traffic between the two of them over the next 7 or 8 days when he's in isolation.
Seems to be that Fudge tweets at pretty much the same time that Rupert tweets. Rupert tweeted on the 5th of July 2019.
Well, they are very close.
Poor old Fudge, the morning after having seven teeth out, smiling not an option. Fudge says, I'm not feeling that great, I have to say.
Was it Rupert or Fudge who had seven teeth out?
We don't have those details.
Okay. Anyway, yes, you've got the if you want to follow Fudge, I'm sure he'll be delighted.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
Paul Hawksby, Max Rushton here on TalkSport. Now, you may recall in the first lockdown, there was an awful lot of talk of around social distancing and 2 metres social distancing, that Peter Crouch was a pretty good unit of measurement, and that gave you a little bit of wriggle room as well, didn't it, really, with a full-length Crouchy at 6'7". But taking that a stage further now is the Reverend Nick Bromfield, who has acquired a cardboard cutout of Crouchy, which he uses for social distancing purposes. He joins us now. Nick, good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
This is Peter Crouch, not in one of the many kits he wore as a footballer, but kind of 007 style. He's in a sort of dinner jacket, isn't he?
Well, now that Mr. Craig's finishing, I think he would be really. I mean, why not?
Yeah, Crouchy as Bond. Now, he's not been in the mix. I've not seen him in the betting, no.
No, it's an interesting idea.
He only turned 40 on Saturday, I think, so he's in his prime.
Yeah, indeed.
Were you having a particular problem with social distancing before the Peter Crouch cardboard cutout arrived?
No, not really. But I think the trouble is, understandably, we have to use so much signage and guidance to people against getting too close together. And in particular, this rather obscure word, mingling. We mustn't allow people to mingle, but no one can actually define what mingling means, least of all in a church. So I thought a picture says 1,000 words. And so to have a picture of dear Peter on hand to reinforce the distance rule would be money well spent, and it certainly has, and it's raised a smile as well.
You don't mind me asking, but what do you pay for a cardboard cutout of Peter Crouch online in a dinner jacket, bow tie?
As I recall, £39.95.
Oh, okay.
It's cheaper than getting... Probably his fee is probably more, isn't it? I thought it might be an undisclosed fee, but yeah, that's quite a good value, I think.
Yes, we've just been talking about that, haven't we? It would be undisclosed. Yeah.
And he's just there as sort of visual aid. You're not walking around with him horizontal just to make sure people are apart.
Well, my church warden has indeed laid Mr. Crouch on the floor to But it seemed a bit of an indignity when he's dressed so well with his Rolex to boot. So we stand him back up again pretty smartly, and he greets parishioners as they arrive for divine service.
Oh, that's nice. So you have him by the door of the church. So that's nice. I wonder if Crouchy knows this. I'd like to think he's aware of it. He may be listening today. I'd like to think he's been used in this way. It's a nice positive story, I think.
Well, I'd be delighted if he knew. I mean, I've been trying to work out how to contact him through his manager or publicist, but I'm not really sure how to go about that. But I would be delighted if he knew. And we were very, very grateful to him. And he really is universally recognised. It's only, very rarely that someone doesn't know who he is. So he's doing a sterling service for the Church of England.
Yeah. And terrible if he really hated it and then he sued for use of his image rights. It wouldn't be very good for his brand.
He's not like that. He wouldn't do that, I'm sure. It would be nice, really, in a different world if he could just come down personally in that same outfit one day, Nick. Maybe when we're through all this, he will come down and come to your church in Cheltenham
and be just really still, and maybe parishioners won't realise it's actually
the older ones. They may not catch on. That's right. If he stands still enough. They would have loved it for his TV show over the summer last year, but fantastic. I
read his autobiography last summer, and I think he would take it in good heart. Yeah. I do hope.
People are still allowed to sort of worship at the moment. I mean, what sort of restrictions are you working under? It must be quite difficult, I would imagine.
Well, it is quite difficult. I've just taken a funeral service an hour ago, actually, and I mean, this was a service that could easily attract 200 people in normal times, but we're limited to 30 because of the need to space everybody out in the congregation. So things are limited, but we are open and we have services every Sunday, I'm glad to say. And people come, and we can people can also watch us online as well, live. And so there's different ways of taking part, but it's not the same. You're quite right. But we do hope perhaps by the summer we can get back to something near normal, and we're blessed with good congregations, so it'd be lovely to have a full church again.
What's the what sort of online uptake been for you?
Oh, very good. I mean, it's interesting. There's a lot of people who would normally be in church, but because of shielding or nervousness, they elect to stay home. But we're also aware we've acquired a kind of shadow congregation of people that may never have come into the church building before, but nonetheless watch online. And it's a good reminder to clergy that often people are scared to come into church. You know, they don't know if they've got to pay to come in. They don't know what to do, when to stand, when to sit. It's like clergy, when they're trained, are often told to go into a betting shop because that can be so alien an experience that's not unlike what people can feel going into church. You know, it's so out of the normal. So I'm really glad to say we've acquired certainly a good few hundred online worshippers too.
And just finally going back to the Peter Crouch cutout, Nick, have they said why he's dressed like this? Was that some sort of promotional thing, or understand in what circumstances he was in this outfit?
I looked him up, and he only seemed available in a DJ. But it may be because he's played for so many clubs they didn't know what strip to put in.
It's a very good question. Which kit would you put Peter Crouch if you had to choose one?
Put him in
a
Stoke kit. I'm seeing him in Stoke.
That great goal from distance. You see him in Stoke. I mean, he played for Liverpool, for goodness sake.
I know that, but you asked me what I saw him.
I saw him at Stoke. Yeah, in your mind's eye. Well, look, Nick, we wish you well. Thanks very much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Take care.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
There we are, Nick Bromfield there, Vicar at St Mary's Church in Cheltenham. Maybe we'll pop in and see Nick when we won't be at the festival this year, but we'll be there next year. We'll see if the Crouchy cutout is still remembered in about 18 months' time.
And just to bring Andy Jacobs, that's part of my role, in these days I'm here, is to bring some of the references into the 21st century. He used Alan Wright as the reference for when social distancing gets down to 1 metre.
To 1 metre,
So, if younger listeners who were listening today would like to transport themselves to yesterday and think Tarek Lamptey, it's very much the same sort of joke
Andy did it for a certain age group, and it's been Tarek Lamptied up for the kids.
It's part of my role here
today. Yeah.
The Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast from TalkSport.
There we are. That was this afternoon show. Things we meant to do today, Max, we didn't get round to, so we'll have to do them tomorrow, won't we? We've got a whole way of getting the listeners involved we never got round to. So we'll do that, and we'll add fresh stuff, and there'll be five more Premier League games.
What if we have no fresh stuff?
We'll just do old stuff.
Yeah, just do old stuff.
Yeah. England's left-sided problem, that kind of thing. But there are five Premier League games. I'm sure we'll be nice and busy. Hopefully you can listen from one. If you can't, the podcast will be available at around five.
You've been listening to the Hawksby and Jacobs Daily Podcast. Hear the guys every weekday between 1 and 4 p.m. on TalkSport.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight, and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.